Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. What a good crowd in the house of God. Amen. Good to see you. Packed church on a Wednesday night. 2 Corinthians, or some have referred to it as 2 Corinthians. Either way, it comes after 1 Corinthians. Amen. 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's a very challenging book to me. Find a lot of details about the Apostle Paul and his ministry in the book of 2 Corinthians. And when we line up our life beside him, it's very convicting and it's very challenging to see the things that he endured for the cause of Christ to reach other people. He knew about suffering, and he knew how to suffer well for the glory of God and the benefit of others. And so I thought about this passage in 2 Corinthians 4, I just want to share a few verses with you. And to tie it in a little bit with Christmas, we all like to receive Christmas gifts. We might have a few in here that would try to be humble and say you don't like a Christmas gift, but I think all of us, if we're honest, enjoy a Christmas gift. And I'm thankful for the gifts that God gives. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. I'm thankful for the gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Later on in this book, Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I'm thankful for the gift of salvation tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I hope you're saved. I hope you know who Jesus is. I hope you know him as your personal Savior. But the Bible talks about another gift that we as Christians receive sometimes that we don't always think of as it being a gift, and that's the gift of suffering. You say, suffering? Yeah, suffering. Philippians 1:29, the Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, for unto you it's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. He said, God's given you a gift, and it's called suffering. And you say, how in the world does that make sense? Why would God give someone a gift that would cause pain and heartache and suffering? Even in this book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have Paul's example, his testimony of a thorn in the flesh. And the way he describes it, he says, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. God gave one of his choicest servants a thorn in the flesh. What was it? He said it was the messenger of Satan to buffet me. And to buffet just means to punch with the fist. It was almost like, you imagine Paul opening up this gift and there's this messenger from the devil there to beat up Paul. I mean, how are we supposed to respond to that? And you read on, and the Apostle Paul is why so convicted. He says, you know what? I'll gladly take the thorn. I'll receive that gift of suffering because he understood that when I'm weak and when I'm suffering, that is what gives the power of God the opportunity to shine through in my life. And that's why all of us that are saved tonight should be interested in this gift of suffering. Now, it's not something that we necessarily pray for. It's not something that we ask for. It's not something that we seek. But when it comes, not if it comes, when it comes, how are we going to use it? Because it is a tremendous opportunity for the power of God to be at work in our life to reach other people. And the choice is up to us. Suffering's going to come. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's on the horizon. How are we going to respond? That's a little bit about what the book of 2 Corinthians is about. It's about ministry. And when I say ministry, you know, when we say ministry, a lot of things kind of fall under that umbrella, don't they? But what I have in mind is, I think what the book of 2 Corinthians has in mind with ministry is when I'm engaged in a spiritual activity and God is working in and through my life to help reach somebody else. To minister to somebody. Ministry is something God does. It's not just Christian activity. It's not just being busy. Don't you get tired sometimes of just being busy and doing things in the energy of the flesh? I mean, it's exhausting. You'll burn out. But ministry is when we're engaged in Christian work. It could be preaching, it could be teaching, it could be singing, it could be working on the bus. It could be a multitude of things. But in that activity, God is working in and through our life, and people are getting help. I don't know about you. That's what I want to be involved in. I want to be involved in activity where people are getting help because God's doing something. I'm not interested in what man can do. I mean, turn on the news. You can see what man can do. Look around you, and we see on every hand what man does, what the works of the flesh are. They cause a lot of harm, and they cause a lot of heartache. But God, when he gets involved, business starts picking up. People start getting help. Amen? That's what I want to be involved in. Now, I've talked to some folks here in the church, and listen, I don't know every individual and every situation, but I do know this, that there's some hurting going on. There's some suffering going on. There's some heartache. You say, well, this is not a very Christmas message. Well, it's reality, right? Maybe under your Christmas tree this year is the gift of suffering. But I want to encourage you, because you'll never have an opportunity like you have when you're weak. And when things are difficult, when things are hard, it's the greatest opportunity to let God work in and through you to reach other people, because when the world sees a Christian responding the right way while they're suffering, it gets their attention. And there's people that you work with, and there's family members that you have, and they're watching you. And they want to see how you're going to respond to whatever that situation is you're going through. It could be finances, it could be family, it could be health. I mean, it could be a multitude of things that cause suffering. So we get here to 2 Corinthians. The emphasis is kind of ministry and learning to help other people when you're hurting. I mean, that's another level of Christianity. That's where Paul was. Because the tendency is, when I'm hurting, to say, oh, I need help. And we do. But God wants to use us, even while we're hurting, to help somebody else. That's what Jesus did. He's bleeding, he's suffering, he's shedding his life's blood on the cross, and he's helping the world in his weakest moment. And that's what he's called us to do. Not just to look inward and say, God, I need you, but to say, God, would you please help me somehow, some way, to use this suffering in my life to help somebody else and to bring glory and honor to your name. I believe it's one of the greatest callings that you and I can have as Christians. And so Paul begins to compare some things in chapter 3 and chapter 4. He compares the ministry of the law to the ministry of the Spirit. And in chapter 4, he's saying in verse 1 that we have this ministry, therefore seeing we have this ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, man, that's what causes me to press on. I don't have to faint when things are difficult, because God's working inside of me. God's doing something inside of me. So let's pick up in verse number 6, and let's just kind of go verse by verse. And I just want to share some truth that I pray will be a help to you tonight. Verse number 6. The Bible says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Aren't you glad God shone in your heart one day? You were in darkness, I was in darkness, and God's Holy Spirit just turned the lights on and showed us our need of Jesus. Aren't you glad God convicted you of your sin and showed you your need? Amen. That's what he's saying. God did that. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Basically, I think what he's trying to say is, God wanted to show you that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus is God. Jesus is God himself, and he's the one that can help you when you have a need. And that's what happened when you got saved. You realized Jesus was the answer, and you asked Jesus, who's God, to save you. Verse number 7. But... all right, verse number 6 is all great. But we have this treasure. This thing that God shone into our hearts, this thing that God gave us when he got saved, which is his own very life. If you're saved, you and I, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. We have the life of God in our soul. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 7, but we have this treasure. He calls it a treasure. Amen. Isn't it a treasure to have the peace, the joy, the love of God in your heart, the peace of God that passeth all understanding? Amen. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, that's not very attractive. An earthen vessel? What is that? That's like a clay pot or jar. That's not very attractive. He's saying, so God put something very precious. He put a treasure inside of a frail human body. Now, why would he do that? Look what he says. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that when God uses us and works through us, we don't say, wow, look what I did. I'm just an earthen vessel. That's all I am. But I've got a treasure inside of me. If you're saved, you got a treasure inside of you. And God wants people to see, not the earthen vessel. He wants them to see the treasure that's on the inside. And the way that that happens is often the vessel has to be broken. The vessel has to be under stress. And the vessel, then, when it's broken, can people see the treasure on the inside. Notice what he says in verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. Now, Paul's not complaining. He's just stating the facts. And verse number 8, I mean, that's the case a lot of times, isn't it? Trouble, everywhere I turn, there's trouble. Work, there's trouble. Family, there's trouble. Bank account, big trouble, right? Everywhere I turn, trouble on every side. But look what he says. Yet not distressed. Well, how is that possible? Because he's got a treasure. Amen. Hey, there can be trouble on every side, but it's not going to touch the treasure Amen. On the inside. Amen. So he says, I can suffer these things, but I don't have to be distressed. The word distress means to press or to crush. He said, there's just something in my spirit. It's just real. And he said, it's not being affected. There's trouble all around me, and I don't like that, but I'm not distressed about it. Look what he says next. We are perplexed. He said, there's some things I just can't figure out. I don't know what God's doing. You ever been there? Paul said, you know what? I look on every side, there's trouble. And I'm perplexed. I have no idea what God's doing. I don't know what's next. You know, sometimes people look at us as Christians and even preachers and they say, well, I bet they got it all figured out. They probably know the will of God. They got a 5-year plan. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And many times I have no idea what God's doing in my life. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know. But I know this. There's a treasure on the inside. A lot of things I don't know, but man, I got something special God put in there when he shone into my heart. That not a devil in hell, not a circumstance can take away. Amen. It's there, amen. We are perplexed, he said, but not in despair. Amen. I don't have to despair. Right. Now, God's been challenging me with this because days are difficult sometimes. And I don't want to complain. I'm prone to. I don't want to have a pity party. I want people to see God in me. I mean, listen, is this thing real or not? Right. It's real. Amen. In verse number 9, he says, persecuted, but not forsaken.
Amen.
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 I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Right. Oh, you might have some friends make fun of you for being a Christian. You might suffer a little bit of persecution down on the job. But I got a friend that's going to stick closer than a brother.
Amen.
I got somebody that's been with me every step of the way, and he's not going anywhere.
Amen.
Amen. So I can be persecuted, but not forsaken. Look again. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He said, you know what Paul's saying? I'm suffering. That's what he's saying. I'm suffering. I'm bearing in my body death, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He said, When people just look at my life and all they can see is the outside and what's going on, they think, man, that guy, that's a dying man. He's just always around death and suffering. But look what he says. Always, verse 10, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, there's an implication there that the life that God put inside of us, it's not always manifest. It's not always evident to people unless we're suffering. But when we're suffering, notice the word might. You see that in verse number 10? This life, this treasure that God put in us, it might be made manifest if we respond the right way. Now, if I gripe and complain like my lost coworkers, like my lost family, well, then I'm no better than a lost person. I'm just living in the energy of my flesh. Saved, going to go to heaven when I die. But if I can choose to respond to this suffering in a way that's going to say, God, you're going to have God's help with this, just like me. God, I'm going to need your help. Because if this is up to Brandon, I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to do something I shouldn't do. I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But God, I need you. I need you to work in and through me in this situation, that your life, that people could see me in this broken situation and they could see God. They could see God at work. They could see something real. They could see a treasure inside of me that they don't have. God wants to use suffering in your life to do that for somebody. There's people all around us. Well, they don't have that treasure. They're verse number 4. The God of this world, it blinded their minds. They're in darkness. They need to see some Christians. They don't need to see the same thing they got. They don't need to see our earthen vessel on the outside. They need to see the treasure on the inside. Amen. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, look at this, but life in you. Paul said, see, God's got something in mind. When he allows us to go through suffering, he has other people in mind that he wants us to reach. Verse number 12, Paul said, death's working in me, but life is working in you. So this Christmas, I don't know what you're going to have under the tree. I hope somebody, if you're lost, you get the gift of salvation. That's the greatest gift you can ever receive. Amen. Amen. If you get that gift, you got a treasure on the inside. And this gift, this year, you may have the gift of suffering. If that's the case, I want to challenge you, challenging myself. Let's use that gift this year for the glory of God, the benefit of somebody else. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we confess, we admit, we need your help with this. This is beyond us. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You've given us a treasure, a precious treasure. And Lord, often you call on us to suffer, to go through hard times. And I pray that in the midst of those hard times, that we'll trust you, and that your life would be made manifest in and through us to help other people. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.